Well, here we are, Literary Discord, a program about publishing, two or three weeks after the horrors of September 11. We're all different people, I think. I'm certainly a different person. And you may even think that it's not the time to be talk about trivial things like writing. But I would say, no, we need writing and painting and music and the arts and any of that kind of thing more than ever. And I hope that that will work out that way. In publishing, even before September 11, things were bad and becoming worse and worse. The commercialization, which we all bewail, has taken foothold in new places. We had Faye Weldon, a British writer, who got herself in the paper by writing a book paid for by a jeweler, who wrote a contract saying that she had to mention the name of the jewelry store 15 times or 20 times, which was a rather sad event. But worse than this lady, Faye Weldon, accepting that, was her agent, Giles Gordon, who's a very prominent agent in England, who said he was so happy with this, the sky was the limit now. And you really think, well, if this man represents the liaison between the public and the writers, we are not doing very well. And then President Clinton, ex-President Clinton, got a $10 million advance. Think of that. It's obviously only based on his fame and presumably also on the people hope to get some nice juicy bits there. 1,000 excellent novels could have been paid for that with that money. And so a thing like that is also not very nice. But as a counterforce to all these goings-on and commercializations, there are other organizations who do very well in preserving an independent publishing situation in this country. One of them is the Small Press Center in New York, which is, in a way, as I see it, a counterforce to the trend of takeovers and amalgamations, which give us fewer and bigger publishers all the time, and then necessity publishers who are really staring and staring at the bottom line. The Small Press Center in New York has a woman director since the 80s, Karen Taylor, and she's here to talk about her side of the story.
We're an education facility for yes. small press publishers, and we do try and help small presses promote themselves, but it's probably not so much directly as, for instance, we're just about to have a series of workshops that are covering different topics of interest to small press publishers. So what we will do, I mean, also we're very fortunate in our location in Manhattan that we have access to so many people who are leaders in the publishing industry field. And we will put together these workshops, which will basically disseminate information that will help our publishers be better publishers.
I see.
And give them access to people they may not have access to on a day-to-day basis.
And you, of course, you have a window right on West 44th Street.
Yes, and we also were able to meet. We also do help promote their books.
Right.
Yes, we do. I suppose I feel that we're perhaps, you know, where we are rather different from the larger publishing companies in how we go about things. But as I said before, we're very lucky in our physical location in Midtown Manhattan, you know, really in the sort of the center of the publishing industry. And as you've yourself mentioned, we have these wonderful display windows outside the center that publishers, small press publishers, can promote their books. And as I said before, the public can also come in and browse through a couple of thousand small press titles.
Right.
And we also have a reference section, which is a resource for publishing, for both publishers and writers. And so, for instance, if you were looking for a small press publisher, you might come in here and begin your research.
I see.
We do always stress to writers that we can't find them, you know, a publisher per se, but we can sort of provide the self-help to get them pointed in the right direction.
Right. Now, the first question which raises this in my mind is: are you threatened in your place where you are by the rent? Well, I don't want to call it a nasty word, but the rent's going up and up, and landlords.
Well, we are so fortunate in that that is something that we don't have to worry about as a small non-profit because of the generosity for the organization that oversees us, which is the General Society of Mechanics and Tradesmen, which is an old philanthropic organization that was started in 1805, and they are kind enough to give us office space. So we don't have to worry about rents.
I knew you had it. There was a connection there, and they are the oldest union, is that right, in the U.S.?
I don't know about them being the oldest union, but they're certainly affiliated with many of the unions, and they to this day run classes to refer back to the title for tradesmen. So they have like classes in plumbing and electrical engineering, and CAD, which is some sort of architectural computer course. But they are an educational facility also, and it is their library that we are housed in. We're an educational program of their library.
Right. And it has gone on for well nigh 200 years now.
When you think of it in that way. Now, of course, we are a rather more recent addition.
Yes. When exactly did you start?
1984, so I guess we're getting on for 16 years.
Oh. And now the question is raised, how do you select people who are publishers which fit into this frame, or do you leave it to the publishers to declare themselves a small press?
We leave it to the publishers, but we're very careful not to have vanity publishers as our members. That would be the one criteria, someone that has paid a fee to a publisher to have their book published. But on the other hand, we would have members who self-publish their books, often there is assumption that that is vanity publishing, but that is not the case, because really that is someone taking an initiative, sometimes for economic reasons, into their own hands to publish a book so they will have it the way that they want it. So a certain percentage of our members are self-publishers or may have started off as self-publishers, and then if they manage to survive in the cruel climate of book publishing, they certainly may go on to publish works by other people.
Right. Now, is it up to the self-publishing people to decide this, or is there any kind of bottleneck where somebody reads their manuscript and says, yes, this is serious, or this is not acceptable?
You mean in terms of a small press center ruling on individual membership? We look at all the applications that would go in, but it would really have to be something off the wall or a clear case of vanity publishing for us to reject it, because in a way, I think we feel that at the small press center that it's very important, to reflect the diversity of independent publishing. And although some of the books may not be quite so professionally produced, someone has still put a certain amount of effort into making a book.
Right.
And as I said before, we are happy to accept them as a publisher, a member, in the hope that we can also, guide them and give them more experience to perhaps produce the second time round a more sophisticated book.
Right.
But as I said, it's market forces, that not the small press center, that will really dictate the survival of a small press publisher.
But you do fiction.
Yes. Oh, yes, we have many publishers who publish fiction.
And poetry,
poetry is a huge part of small press publishing.
Oh, splendid.
And lots of literature, and quality nonfiction. I didn't mean to lay so much stress on self-publishing. As I said, that is a small part of the publishing companies. No, any topic under the sun, we probably have a member who has produced a book.
No, but a fear I would imagine to have in your position is there are so many people nowadays who run around saying, I could write a book, they used to say, and now they're actually writing
yes.
it. And of course, the excellent stuff, but there must be freaks there too. And they would sort of clog up the works potentially.
Well, we
no?
like to say eccentric.
Well, eccentrics, okay.
But you see, I don't think they will because, okay, they may have got the book published and they put it out, but they will not survive. If their book does not have a message worth hearing,
right.
you know, be it that they are a poet or they have produced a book on sailing, if they don't find an audience for that book, first of all, they need to find a distributor to get the book to the audience, to get the book to the reader. And if their book's not good enough, they're not going to find a distributor.
Yes.
And they'll have great difficulty in surviving.
And you sort of err on the side of the gods, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. It's you know, I don't think it's not for us, the Small Press Center, to be critical of the books. It's more that we would try and help improve.
Yes.
You know, the publishing of the book.
I mentioned you once to somebody, I don't even remember who it was, but that's not the matter. And he said very indignantly, "We are not a small press." He meant he was too big to be a small press.
Yes, and
is there a specific cut-off point?
Well, I can tell you what our criteria is, and yes, you're right. There are some people who you know would call themselves independent publishers who prefer that the term small press not be applied to them because they feel it's diminutive.
Yes,
And, you know, often I will just, in conversation, I mean, rather than saying small press all the time, I do swap the terms myself. But in terms of what we at the Small Press Center define as a small press, we would say it's normally a publisher who publishes less than 12 books a year and has a print run per book of 5,000 and under, and often well under 5,000.
I see.
That to us is a small press. But in our membership, we would have publishers who are bigger, so it's not like they are disqualified from that. It's just that they probably do fit more comfortably under the term of independent publisher.
Right. So there's no reason, you're not afraid of a flood of people. I can mention your name and address and the phone number.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, particularly if there are... you know, writers listening, that it is the Small Press Center is a good place to come and begin your research to find a publisher. And for any small press publishers who are not already members and are not familiar with the organization, I would also urge them to visit. And like as I mentioned, we're having a series of workshops that are covering, really useful topics for small press publishers, and I would encourage them to attend those. And they're very reasonably priced, because as a non-profit, we're very aware that things are tight for small press publishers.
Well, I would think PKN has more writers or poets under its members per 100 than any other radio station. That wouldn't be too much of a boost. But listen, who runs the workshop? What kind of people?
For instance, I can tell you who we were going to have at the first workshop, which because of, really to do with the tragic things that has happened in the last few weeks. We have actually postponed. And it so happened it was going to take place last night, but there was going to be a publishing fundraiser for the World Trade Tower, so we did decide in respect to that to postpone this particular workshop.
Yeah.
But it will be, because we're going to have this workshop again in November, and it should be a fascinating workshop, and it's entitled What's Happening to Book Reviewing?
Ah.
And we really had the most splendid lineup. We had Malcolm Jones from Newsweek. We had Julie Just, who's the deputy editor of the New York Times Book Review. We have Laura Miller, who's editorial director of Salon.com, and Bob Mintzheimer, who's the book critic from USA Today. And we have Eileen Barth, who is actually a small press publisher now, but did used to be a critic at Newsday.
Right. Who is the New York Times person?
Julie Just. She's the deputy editor to Charles McGrath.
Oh, but she doesn't review herself.
Oh, I think so. So unless you're right, maybe her job is more administrative, but I would imagine if she was coming to talk, she would do a certain amount of reviewing herself.
And is that sort of several evenings then?
That was one evening.
Oh. And of all these people in that one evening?
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's more like
it was
panel.
Yes, it was a workshop discussion.
I see.
Yes, I was just giving you that. That was an example of the first one. No, we have another seven workshops to go, and they're all panel discussions with various luminaries from the publishing industry.
Right.
And for instance, the one we have on Tuesday is it's a money making guide to non-traditional book sales channels. And this is for publishers who might want to do more about special sales.
Right.
A very important market for publishers, in addition, you know, to going through to the bookstores and normal channels.
I hope it's not rude, but I'd like to ask how much it costs to attend one.
Right. It's $25 per workshop, and it's and for members it's $15.
I see.
So as I said, we do try and keep them quite low, and if to attend the whole series, it's $75 for members and $135 for non-members. So that's not bad for 8 workshops.
No. I would now go to a more general subject, unless there's something you feel we have not touched upon about the Small Press Center, which
mention at this point that for information on the center and indeed on the workshops, anyone is listening who has access to the web could go to our website,
which is
www.smallpress.org. One word, smallpress is one
dot
word.
.org.
Yes.
Okay. And then they hear more or less what you have said.
And certainly all the workshops are listed there, and other public events that you know that we will be planning, and also background information on the press and sort of fact sheets like 10 steps to locating a publisher, which as you mentioned, if the radio station has a high percentage of writers, they might be interested in looking at that as a starting point.
Now, listen, I think this program has been running for more than a year now, and we've had all sorts of people, and of course the usual. I never talk to writers about their books. It's really about publishing. And of course most of it have been a lot of Jeremy Myatt, is that how you pronounce it? Tonight I have lost my voice and I've lost my sense. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
Jeremiah type predictions how publishing is really in very dire straits. And I myself, as a writer, have, of course, tasted it also firsthand, because in the old days, publishers competed for me, and now I have to do a lot of running around to find an agent even, and then the agent has to find a publisher. Well, we know all the things about the concentration, the commercialism, which gets worse and worse. How do you feel about all this?
It highlights the importance of small and independent publishers, and I'm not saying that they don't have difficulties in publishing books too, because as you just said, the market has gone. It's difficult to be an independent or any type of publisher now, and of course with a possible recession, looming very strongly in the near future, things are going to be even tougher over the next few years. But to take your point about the multinational conglomerates that keep swallowing each other and have basically abandoned authors like yourself, who they used to stand by in search for the new or the well-known. That's really what seems to happen. And the mid-list author has basically been dropped or shoved aside.
Yes.
And that's really very sad, because obviously there's a huge amount of quality work that is now having to, that authors like yourself are encountering difficulty in getting published, and these people, so many people have now been dropped. And small press publishers, can help in that area and are willing, to publish authors who have certainly been published by the larger publishing houses in the past. But as I said, there will be smaller advances for the author, and obviously the independent presses, particularly the smaller ones, do not have the same clout in bookstores, you know,
yes.
with television stations, as the larger publishing houses. But at least, you know, valuable work will hopefully still continue to get published.
How long have you been in the book world?
Since 89. So what's that, about 11 or 12 years?
See. Do you see a direct correlation between sales and say, the Dow Jones Index or something like that?
You know, not only what I read, because we ourselves are not a publisher. It's more hearsay. It's more what other people may tell me, what I read in Publishers Weekly. But I think, of course, the economic climate does have an impact on book sales. It goes without saying, you know, when people are tightening belts, they may be less likely to, you know, to buy as many books as they had in the past.
Well, I could see how it could depend on the book, how certain books would be less popular, but other books, perhaps more serious ones or more really concerning themselves with the human condition, would flourish during a recession.
Of course. I mean, you could say, you know, especially at the moment, that presumably books on, for instance, a Muslim community or Afghanistan, there's going to be a great deal, you know, academic books, there's going to be a great deal more interest in them than there was like a month ago. And of course, there will be examples like that again and again.
I don't mean it that directly. I meant that in bad times, people are perhaps ready for more serious literature, but that may be completely nonsense, of course.
Well, perhaps, but then sometimes people might want escapism as well.
Yes.
So it's hard to say, really, I think. It's hard to see a clear correlation. I think there's a case to be made for both suggestions of wanting more important literature and also wanting escapism.
Have you seen has there been any direct impact on the center in any way because of the September 11 terrorisms? Have you felt any resonance of that in any way? Less interest, more interest?
Yes, definitely. Certainly immediately. I think the people have been in the last 2 weeks so preoccupied. Of course, the incredible tragic events. That I think, you know, that people, for instance, a fiction book, I don't know about you, but I certainly haven't read any fiction in the past few weeks.
Oh.
Oh, you have? Well, you have, but I have, but
I've
I think
writing,
there's been a need
I've
for
been
like...
writing fiction. That's bad news, actually, for,
yeah.
I thought that way. I was afraid that would be the reaction.
Yes, but of course time will pass. This is like the immediate reaction, to an incredible catastrophe, and I think that people have been looking for, like, you know, hard facts and knowledge.
Yes.
And as I said, only speaking from my own personal perspective, it is hard for me to read anything that has not been directly connected with the events of the past few weeks. But of course, things will return to normal, in inverted commas.
Touch wood.
Yes.
But it's not over yet.
Yes.
The fat lady hasn't sung yet.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. So who knows? But it does seem to me the dissemination of information has never been so important.
Oh,
and books
yes.
have never been so vital, you know? Who knows what's going to come down in the next few weeks or months? And I think, you know, books have such an important place.
Yes. Of course, I have to agree with that. Well, listen, that's a nice note to end on. And thank you very much and the best of luck with your work.
Oh, not at all. Thank you, Hans. Thank you for being interested in the Small Press Centre and what we're up to. Many thanks.
Many thanks
to
you.
Bye.
You have heard Karen Taylor, the director of the Small Press Center in New York City, in Manhattan. And for those of you who are interested, the address of the Small Press Center is 20 West 44th Street, 10036 is the zip code. The phone is 1212-764-7021. And the email address is www.smallpress.org. So the best of luck with that. And by the way, I want to clear myself of any suspicion that I'm not so much a fighter for good publishing, but a disappointed or jealous writer. I have to tell you that I was not dropped as Karen thought. I left my publisher and moved to another one. And in fact, next month I have a new novel out. It's called Zealand or Elective Concurrences. And I hope you may have a look at it and read the first page. Perhaps you'll be caught. What I do feel, of course, is the pressure of commercialization and things that happen now, which were unthinkable 10 years ago, that serious publishers ask you for changes, not because they think there's something wrong per se, but changes that are supposed to make a novel sell better. It's terrible also because those things never work. Nobody knows what makes a novel sell. So it is not even as if you the devil offered to buy your soul. There's no devil around. In future, there'll be two chances to hear this program each month. The first broadcast is on the second Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. in the evening. And the second time, it will be broadcast the fourth Thursday at 12 noon. For October, that means October 9 and October 25. I hope to have you in our audience on one of those dates. You have listened to Literary Discord. I am Hans Koning, and the producer of this program, who, by the way, makes us sound much more fluent than we are, is Scott Harris.